Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 18 of the Thistle Rugby Podcast, the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? It is one of the most exciting days of the Scottish rugby calendar. The team is out for our first fixture in the Six Nations. I'm David and I'm joined here by Matt. How are you, pal?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Nice to be back. Full contingent.
We've missed you guys. We've had a couple of weeks off and Alan over there is looking all right. How are you?
Yeah, good. Tough day, but Back with the boys.
It is great to be back with the boys, and I think we should probably start off with a little bit of an apology for the last couple of weeks where we've failed to get a pod out. We managed to get you that Mark Bennett interview out a couple of weeks ago, and then last week we just had a bit of a tough time with people being all over the world. Matt, you were at another anime conference, weren't you?
Yes.
You were.
I was at an anime conference, and I'm really weird.
Well, it's great to get that on the record. I'm very happy about that.
No, I was skiing and it was class.
Sounds very good.
Great cover-up, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure if you've seen on Twitter, but we've got an amazing guest for you guys today. Scotland legend Sean Lamont is going to be joining us to chew over the Scotland squad announcement today, which is exciting.
I thought he was just talking about his career, his time at Sheffield Hallam. That's what the fans want to know, right?
That's what I want to know.
That is what you want to know. He's your favourite ever Scotland player, isn't he?
He is categorically my number one Scotland rugby player of all time. I'm so nervous. I'm not sure if I'm even going to be able to ask him a question.
I mean, a weak at the knees. Yeah, start talking to him.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. Thanks a lot for joining us, obviously, on iTunes or on Acast. And the Twitter has been going mad today off the back of the announcement. That is at Thistle Rugby Pod. And the Instagram Thistle_Rugby_Pod has just tipped over 600 followers, lads. We're getting there.
Boom.
That is massive. So that's huge influence, I reckon. to talk about influence, what we want is more. And if you guys can leave us reviews, 5 stars and ratings on the iTunes app, that really helps us, gets us up the rankings, gets our name out there. How about this one from Matt, Fill in the Kiwis Sprot? It's a 5-star review. He says, it's a great podcast for keeping up to date with all the goings on in Scottish rugby, delivered by presenters that range from chirpy and upbeat to downright melancholic. As an exile, you get a dose of deja vu every time the boys mention a night out at a George Street establishment, and there are muted and occasional references to the Edinburgh Private School rugby circuit and the previous careers of the presenters. What is not to love?
I've had a poor career on the old schoolboy rugby circuit and a poor career on George Street. So.
I was going to say, yeah.
It's been many a career ruined on George Street, I think.
Nice to be described as chirpy. I'm assuming he's referring to me when he makes that statement.
I think so. I'm notoriously melancholic on the pod. Right, so obviously the Craigie Townsend announced his Six Nations squad, and we're going to get into that in way, way more detail after we've spoken to Sean. But lads, any initial sort of top line thoughts?
I like it. I think it's pretty much the best we could have hoped for. I think the major surprise is Chris Harries at 13, Hugh Jones at 12. But what we're hearing is that is an injury thing rather than selection. But I'm quite excited by Harries.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think in the forwards, we all know issues up front, but I want to see what Cornell can do. This could be a make or break Six Nations for him, I think. Especially with sort of Ryan Wilson coming back from injury. If he makes a big statement on Saturday, kind of nail down that spot and be the Strauss we've always wanted him to be.
Be the Strauss we've always wanted him to be. And you must have been personally delighted that Dent Wheezy didn't make the squad.
Yeah, I personally put in a call to Gregor Townsend saying that Dent Wheezy was not up to scratch.
Yeah.
He said, A, who is Dent Wheezy? B, who is it?
Well, no, Gregor is he's a known listener of the pod.
Yeah, and you know what? Dent Wheezy's been playing well, but personal issues run deep, so...
Exactly, he can't play. Righto, before we have a quick chat with Sean, should we have a quick canter through a little bits of news that have come out over the last few days? Matt Scott, currently at Gloucester, he's going to be let go at the end of the year, though. There's some talk of him coming back to Edinburgh. Do you think that's a good move?
It would be a good move, I think. The talk has come mainly from our Twitter source, which I think is fair enough.
That's a very reputable source.
Although... you've been doing some good digging and looking at his LinkedIn, which is quite odd.
You don't
But that might put paid to the idea of him moving back to Edinburgh.
Yeah, he's taking on
MBA.
Part-time MBA at the University of West Gloucestershire or something of that ilk.
Wow.
So whether that is you can do it at home MBA or you need to be in the West Country MBA, we will find out. Because obviously he's got options, Bristol, Bath.
Well, there you go. Maybe he's going to Bristol's.
Bristol's.
That just talks about the lens we go to get that rugby news. Creeping Scotland rugby players on their LinkedIn.
Did you actually click on his LinkedIn?
It genuinely came up in my news feed.
The same thing did happen to me the day afterwards, so I do believe you.
Yeah, no, I was bored and I was scrolling through quite a substantial amount of shit on my news feed. But it just popped up and he's chatting a nice little message about how he's going to do some advanced learning.
Good for him.
Very good. Another name linked to Edinburgh, Cicino. Another possibility, Matt? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm not sure where it was reported. Rugby paper?
I think it was in the rugby paper, yeah.
I think that would be a really good signing. He's been really impressive for Newcastle in the past couple of seasons.
Yep.
Quite kind of squat figure, came up from the Championship, but really skillful, direct runner, knows what he's doing. Although it seems as if Bath might be in the running as well, and it might make more sense financially for him to stay there, stay in the Prem.
Yep, fair enough. Other news, not strictly on topic, but Murrayfield have put in a bid to be the home of Scottish football from 2020. Quite a nice little promo vid.
It was a nice promo vid. Someone in the SOU marketing department is earning their bank for that little number.
Somebody got a drone for Christmas. They're like, lads, I've got a drone idea.
Yeah, but talking about the SOU marketing and PR department, can we chat about Nathan Fowles? And him, his name getting put on the team sheet.
We haven't talked about this yet, have we?
On the squad at all.
So this is obviously the news of the original squad announcement a couple of weeks ago, which we weren't able to chat about on a pod. And the chat that Vellacott was approached and turned it down. So they just slid in Nathan Fowles right at the end where Vellacott probably was sitting on like the infographic.
There's only two possibilities. Number one, they asked Vellacott 10 minutes before the announcement
exactly.
And didn't have time to shift Fowles' name up, or some intern at the SOU has had an absolute shock and just hasn't got the memo about alphabetical and has been asked to make that change. But yeah, Vellacott looks like he's not in the England squad,
he's in the wider sort of
he's
unannounced training squad that Eddie Jones has got.
Yeah, although to be honest, you know, I do think Vellacott's a good player, but of all the positions, nine's not one I'm incredibly worried about. I think when he played under 20s, George Horn started ahead of him.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually got Barreto coming through, who looks like a good player. We've still got Price, Laidlaw, Hidalgo Klein. It's an area that we're not...
Sean Kennedy as well.
Sean Kennedy as well.
And we've got another Gloucester scrum half in the under 20s. He's on the bench this weekend.
Yeah, he's called...
Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin.
That's not his actual name, is it? Charlie Chalmers. No. It does sound like Charlie Chaplin.
I think it is Chaplin, isn't it?
No.
I think it's Callum Chaplin.
Yeah.
It's that's like, what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, you know,
he's on the bench against Wales.
Didn't want Vellacott anyway.
Yeah. So well, the new and luck, improved Gloucester version.
Good luck not getting into the England squad, mate. What else is what else has been going on? Summer tour has been announced. USA and Canada.
And Argentina. That's a strong summer tour.
It's a great
from fun.
From a fun perspective. Maybe not from a rugby testing perspective.
Great supporters tour.
Yeah. If really any good. Sponsors want to fund me,
this is good.
Or yeah. both, all of us,
just you, solo tour.
You played rugby in Canada once before, didn't you, Alan?
I did. A lot of great games. Played Canada 20s, lost 132-0.
Captain
live
decided,
on camera.
You?
All Flower of Scotland was played. They played all four verses. Didn't know there was four. Had to be quiet for the last two.
There is video evidence of you playing that match as well. We could share it on Twitter.
Let's put it on the Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, of you sort of stepping out of the line on purpose, missing a tackle, blaming it on a poor fresher.
We don't have to show it.
We could show it. Let's quickly move on. Other things. John Hardy made a little bit of a comeback for Hoik at the weekend.
Good to see him back. Hopefully he'll be back. Able to play for Edinburgh, I think start of February is when his 3-month ban finishes. It's
great to have someone like that available during the Six Nations.
Yeah, I know.
For Edinburgh, who will still have a schedule. And one last thing that you wanted to raise, Alan, Jordan Lay, one cap legend, has left Scottish rugby.
I just like the fact that he basically came for the 1872 Cup and was just like, nah. I am signing for Bristol next year. This is just not something I'm interested in. So yeah, Jordan Lay will sadly, he wasn't a short-term contract, but he has announced that he'll be signing for Bristol next year.
I just remember two bits of news. Kevin Bryce has gone on loan to Yorkshire Carnegie for three months, and Callum Hunter-Hill is at Newcastle
for 2 weeks.
But he was on the bench in their Anglo-Welsh match.
Yeah.
There were three Scottish locks in the Newcastle team. Glenn Young and Andrew Davidson starting.
Yeah.
And Cam Hunter-Hill on the bench.
Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah.
Maybe we should buy Newcastle instead of Worcester.
Make a lot more sense.
It's closer, isn't it?
Borders connection.
We do have Scott Lawson, John Welsh, and Chris Harris all in. Ali Hogg.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, those names who are all appearing in the Scotland team at the weekend, we caught up with Sean Lamont a little bit earlier to chat about it. Here it is.
And we're absolutely delighted to be joined on the line by Scotland legend Sean Lamont. Sean, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. Legend, I think, is pushing it. I don't think it's pushing it a bit.
Oh, I don't know. 100 plus caps, I think that gets you legendary status.
No, I'll take it then.
Good stuff. So, obviously, we're chatting on the day of the first squad announcement for the Scotland-Wales game at the weekend. What were your thoughts on the team?
Well, it's the strongest team as we can feel at the moment. But obviously, we've got a few injuries, especially in that front row position. But the guys are all there. They're all talented players, and they've been there before, generally speaking. You never know. They're fresh faces. Obviously, their chance to make a mark, and obviously, it's a big one against Wales this weekend. But I think the importance of winning your first game of the tournament is a big one. So there's a big task ahead of these guys, but I'm sure they're more than capable of doing it.
Absolutely. I think the main sort of shock inclusion, if we can call it that, is Chris Harris at outside centre, fairly untested at that international level. What do you know about the guy?
To be honest, not a lot. I know very little. I was there today and It was a big surprise, obviously. But on that side of things, Gregor is a bloody clever coach. So he would have done the research, and he would have made sure he's on form. And he wouldn't just be picking anybody that's not capable of filling that role. Obviously, it's swapping around the two centres with Hugh Joseph at 12, with Aidan Barr suffering a bit of an injury. These things, you've got to give these guys a chance, these new faces. I mean, I was there once, and you never know. You've got to take a punt, and a lot of time at the international, it's kind of sink or swim. But you never know; you could have a whole new Scotland star out there.
And coming up in for the Wales match, what do you think is sort of going to be the most important areas that are going to decide the result?
It's always a big one. Defence, I always have to go to defence for that with Scotland. If our defence is on its money game, the attacking threats we have are massive. We've got some really talented players in attack, and I can find a way to try line, especially in the last couple of years. We've started really running some good scores here, and you saw in the Autumn Internationals, we can score now from anywhere. But it's now a case of, we can't have that blip that we had against England last year in any of the games this year. And if you swap that around, it changes. If you take away that England result last year, it's a completely different tournament in the standards. It's just everything got weighed on that, which a poor defensive effort against England last year.
Yeah, definitely. I think we all are trying to erase that game from our memories as much as we can. I mean, I think one thing on Harris that has been said is he's a guy that's played a bit on the wing, and Hugh Jones is a super fast guy. And I think with players like McGuigan and Hoggy and Seymour, do you think this is one of the fastest sort of Scotland back lines that you can remember?
I definitely. So across the board, yes. There are some real whippets there. And that's the thing. And it kind of shows that, like, the threat Hoggy imposes on the attacking line, it's got to be good for all players, because if everybody's concentrating on him, and especially the new guys in the centre, and they're not really underestimating him, and then these guys with a bit of burst, they can carve open a defence. That whole unknown factor can be a really good asset.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, it's an away game, Millennium Stadium. Scotland haven't done too well at Millennium Stadium over the last sort of decade. Do you want to just give us a bit of insight to say what's it like to play at the Millennium Stadium? And then probably one of the most painful memories of my sort of rugby viewing career was that 2010 game when I think we were up like 17-0 and sort of I think we ended up losing 31-24. But just bit of insight into what it's like playing at Millennium Stadium would be absolutely great.
It's a really cool place to play. Like, it's really enjoyable, but it's also really oppressive. It's capacity with the Welsh guys, and they're all singing the Sea of Red, and especially that roof shot. Everybody talks about it, it all goes about the roof, but it does make it a real kick-in. It's not a massive opening, but when it's open, it does really change the atmosphere. It does make a huge difference. And let's say, yeah, a Welsh crowd behind them, all singing, all fine voices down in there. It can be, as a opponent to Wales, it can be really quite impressive. So yeah, it's all that case of making sure the guys are on game. And it's one of those ones where you have almost got to try and ignore what happens. And it does happen when you're in the flow of the game. You tend to not always notice the crowd. It's the slow stoppages between, for scrums or penalties or whatever, that's when you can really hear the noise. And it's like anything, though. You get a crowd behind a team. If Wales get a tail up, the crowd gets behind them, and you can feed off the energy of the home team. It makes a big difference, not just to the players, but I can swear it does sway the ref's decisions as well.
Yeah, it sounds terrifying. I think in the hearts of Scotland rugby fans, I think the image of you that sticks out most is that the two try scoring game against France in your orange gloves with the blonde tipped hair. Is that your sort of top Six Nations memory?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the big ones. Like, obviously, having to beat France, I think it was the first time in a while, and obviously getting a dot. It was more the fact the first try I poached off the fours from the 22-meter out driving ball there. Decided to join 2 meters out from the line. God knows how I got the hands on the ball, but it was one of those ones where I saw Mike Blair go into the ball, and I thought, right, well, the nine's gone in. If Mike's gone in, there's no chance of that ball coming out, so might as well add whatever weight I can. And God knows how, but the ball ended up in my hand and sort of went over in the corner. It's just a bit of luck, as is with a lot of things at times, the right time, right place. But it's all these things. I mean, all games you win for Scotland are brilliant, because losing is an absolute nightmare. It really does crush your soul when you lose for your national team, sorry, for me anyway, and having had some horrendous losses as well, it really does stick with you just as much. Especially like against Wales, you mentioned it, that horrendous game, what you say, 2010, where Tom Evans broke his neck, Chris Patterson ruptured a kidney.
Yeah.
My brother did his medial. I think we had Scott Lawson comes on to get yellow carded, and then we had Dan Parks in the backfield cramping up, and we had to kick off to win, and the Welsh team go the whole length after being up, and it was the mood in the dressing room after was absolute shell shock. More for the fact that we lost so many players as well, and obviously with Tom having a career ending injury with breaking his neck, it was one of these games that you could not predict it, could not write it. So it was actually Chris Patterson's 100th cap as well. So yeah, that was one of the more odd games that I've played for.
On a sort of lighter note, what's been your best memories in a Scotland jersey?
I've not just got one. There's so many. Just like you're kind of spoiled when you're a national player. You get to go see the world. You play rugby, which is fun as well. But the first cap always sticks with your mind. But that first Scotland tour in 2004 to Australia, when I think we were out there for like 4 weeks, it was a proper old school tour where you had the midweek games and you played loads of rugby. I think it was pretty much the last sort of old school tour you got with Scotland, because it all started to change thereafter.
Have you got any?
But that whole experience was amazing.
Have you got any stories from the old school tour of 2004?
Nothing untoward. There's nothing at that point. No stupid things. But it's just just being able to go out and spend time on Surfers Paradise, which is spent loads of time on the beach. It's just also because of my first time, just getting to know loads of the guys. And it's just one of those ones you meet these guys and they stick with you throughout your whole career.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's nothing. There's no ridiculous stories or anything like that to go with it. It was just a long time out in Australia, which, to be fair, pretty damn good, even if you're just doing it as a social. But the fact you're there and getting my first cap, so that's the whole thing. It's such a great experience. It's the one to kick it off.
So was it Matt Williams who gave you your first cap?
Yes, it was. It was back in the day. Because when he got so many pelters, I actually got on really well with him.
I mean, you must have seen...
You kind of do that when he's giving you the first caps and the first number of starts. And so it's always despite all the pelters he got. And he did have some strange ideas and whatnot, but again, I can't hold anything against him because he started it.
You've obviously seen quite a few sort of coaches, sort of 12 years playing for Scotland. How have you seen sort of the Scotland setup sort of develop over the last sort of 12, 13 years?
I think the biggest one, he has really, really caught up with the other nations in terms of rugby player and professionalism. I think Scotland's always been a little bit behind the eight ball when it comes to that sort of thing. But certainly the last, since Mark Dodson took over, and there was stuff in place before him, but since then, the commitment to rugby, the commitment to Glasgow Warriors and Edinburgh, and increasing the budgets for both those teams, and not just at the pro level, the stuff that's gone on the grassroots is helping Scotland. You can start to see the fruition of it now. A lot of the players that are in this Scotland squad now have come through the academy system, which, when I first started, there wasn't really a Glasgow or Edinburgh Academy or an academy set up that was as professional as it is now. And all the guys, right, they get support from sort of under-16s. I mean, I'm working with under-16s this year as well. So they get support from under-16s all the way through. And that's what you need. You need a good grassroots program to create an elite, that top pyramid. If you've got a really narrow base, then you're going to struggle to produce anything at the top end. So that's a big change, just the commitment to actual rugby rather than just the SOU as a business.
That's really interesting. You mentioned sort of the strength and conditioning stuff there, and maybe just talk a bit more about the work that you've been doing with the academy setup.
Well, I'm just finding my feet myself. I've always enjoyed the strength and conditioning, gym work, and stuff like that. As a player, I've always taken a great interest in it, and the fact I've been able to get a chance to carry on and sort of give back to rugby, I'm really enjoying it. I'm still finding my feet. There's still a lot of stuff I'm learning, but I've got a few ideas I want to start putting in. Just I think rugby needs to change a little bit in what they're doing, as in what the way the game has evolved. I think it needs to be a lot more multifunctional movements and kind of what there is at the moment. In off-field stuff, not so much the technical stuff, but as in the player preparation, not just the fitness side of things, but the gym stuff, and trying to create more robust players is something I want to start doing, because the way rugby is going, you look at the number of injuries that Scotland has at the moment, but it's going through that whole, the whole nature of rugby, there's a hell of a lot of injuries at the moment, just because guys are bigger, the game is faster, the impacts are bigger, you get a lot more games in the season, so it all adds up. So if you can start creating more robust players, even from a younger age, and people talk about young guys and weights, but it's not necessarily that, it's getting the moving right, getting more functional movements rather than just the simple squat, bench, chin, which is, they're not really transferable. They're good at getting strength, but they're not really transferable in the rugby pitch, because you're never really in those positions unless you've got yourself in a terrible position to begin with. So they're not very functional.
Yeah, well, it's good that you're getting getting that knowledge into the youngsters of Scottish rugby. Hopefully we'll see better players coming out the other end. Back to a slightly sort of lighter note, we've asked a few of our followers on Twitter. We told them that you were coming on the pod, and they had a few questions for you. So the first one was...
Okay, this could be interesting.
don't worry too much. The first one is, how much of your success do you put down to wearing gloves in the early years of your career?
Not so much the gloves for the catching, but it's like trademark, like the blonde hair and the gloves. People notice that, and it was quite funny. To where I was dyeing my hair, like pre-2007, everybody recognised me walking down the street in Edinburgh. Like, you'd get stopped and ask. As soon as I shaved my hair and it went back to dark, nobody recognised me. It's quite funny. But again, that's the whole thing. It's that big beacon, and when you're playing, that shockingly yellow hair, yellow sometimes it was, because I did it all myself, but people notice that on the pitch, especially when you've got a lot of guys that are dark hair, brunette, so I might not be doing anything different to when I didn't have blonde hair, but it kind of stuck out, and so that's the thing, same with the gloves, they're like regular blind beacons, you got to make sure you have a good game when you're doing that, so they all there. Flash boots, isn't it? You've no point putting on your big bright boots and having an absolute shocker.
That's actually a bit more of a more detailed answer than I thought I was going to get from that. That's good. I didn't realise there was so much thought behind that. Amazing. One of the other ones was, how did you get involved with the famous Stade Français calendar?
Well, it was actually off the back of that 2006 French game. So it must have, in France... obviously, a bigger game, beating France, and I must have just got me on the radar to the Stade Français owner at the time, a guy called Max Gazzini, who produced this calendar. And it was just one of those ones. I got a phone call one day saying, do you want to do it? And I thought, oh, yeah, why not? it doesn't bother me. It's one of the easiest things. I'd rather take my clothes off and stand there than have to do like corporate speaking, or I hate public speaking. I absolutely hate public speaking at that time. But standing there naked, it's fine. It's easy. It's no brainer.
Fair enough.
And it was just one of those weird ones, because it was such a, it was quite an iconic calendar at the time. I thought the fact that it's the first Scots guy to get asked to do it, I thought, yeah, why not?
Yeah, fair enough. And the last one we ask all the guests on the pod. Who is the, across all the teams you've played for your whole career, who's the worst roommate you've ever had?
It's tough. Oh God, anybody who snores, I was never the deepest of sleeper, but you have somebody that's, any forward that snores is a nightmare.
Alan Jacobson?
The biggest thing. No, I don't think I actually roomed with him ever. No, he wasn't too bad with snoring, but some guys snore horrendously. I was quite lucky because when I was playing, when my brother and I played, especially in Scotland, we'd always room together. And the same with a lot of places now, like you get to know a certain guy and you normally just, your team manager will just tear you guys up. When I was playing, I used to always room with Hoggy just because it was dead easy. We got on well together, we changed beside each other in the changing room, and you just get to know each other, and it was one of those ones you just get paired together. But anybody that snowed is an absolute nightmare.
Fair enough. And one final one, what is your prediction for the game on Saturday?
I'm going to go, every time anybody asks me this, I'm always going to say Scotland win. It needs to be, because it's the first one of the tournament. We've got a slightly injured squad, but the guys are going to do it. They know what's at stake, and it's got to be important, and they've just got to keep backing up that autumn international form. So I'm going with a Scotland win.
Good stuff. Let's hope that comes true. Sean, thanks so much for your time, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye, Jake. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, cheers, mate.
Bye.
So at least Sean is confident in our chances on Saturday. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I'm increasingly getting more worried.
Are you?
I've got that sort of feeling of dread as well. But before we let that consume us all, shall we shall we talk about the team then?
Yes.
Let's have a look at the Scotland squad that was announced by Gregor Townsend. Alan, I'll come to you first. Do you think this is a Scotland team that can go to Cardiff and beat Wales?
Yes, they can go and beat Wales. Although my one big worry at the moment is we're having to look at the weather, and it looks like it's going to be heavy rain in Cardiff on Saturday. And that's not a team that I've got much confidence in under sort of heavy rain conditions, especially obviously if they keep the roof open at Millennium Stadium.
Yeah, ball players like Gordy Reid and John Welsh.
Gordy Reid and John Welsh like chucking it around a little bit.
They don't,
I mean, they're not good at it, and I don't want them to do any of it on Saturday, but as forwards go, they do sometimes like to mix
just
it about.
What, liking it?
Yeah, they like to do it. John Wells likes to chip, but Gordy Reid gets in places he shouldn't be.
That is true. Matt, what do you think? Do you think this is the sort of squad that can go there and get a job done?
I think it's the best team we could have selected with all the injuries, so yeah, I'm happy to actually. I never thought I'd say this. I'm happy to see Gordon Reid and John Welsh as the props.
Oh, so happy.
They could have put in Batty. And there are some people on Twitter today saying they might chuck in McCallum for familiarity purposes with McAnally. But yeah, I just want those two props to just be told, look, lads, you're there to scrum. Just hold it solid. You don't need to be dominant. Just give the back some sort of platform. Good to see Dupree in there as well instead of Wilson. I like the look of the back. Back row and the back line, we all know what they can do. So let's do it.
I mean, we don't really know what Chris Harris can do. Sean Lamont, who is very much involved in the SRU, doesn't know who he is.
He's got good stats in the Prem, though. He always looks quite good in the view of highlights,
I watch the highlights. I don't know too much. I saw Jamie Lyle from the BBC tweeting that he makes an average of 10 tackles a game and he's got the most offloads in the whole Premiership
this year. Second or third in turnovers. So.
Yeah.
So on that basis, that is a pretty decent 13.
On paper, it looks good. But to be fair, until November, I had no idea it was Scottish.
Are we happy with, another question in the centre, happy with Jones at 12?
I am happier with Jones at 12 and Harris at 13 than I am with Horn at 12 and Jones at 13.
That's a nice way of putting it.
In respect, and I think we've discussed this is, I think we haven't seen Hugh Jones playing 12 in Scotland. He hasn't done it for Scotland, and he hasn't done it for Glasgow.
Yeah.
But when he was at Western Province, he spent the majority of his time at 12 when playing
and
in
the
centres.
Top try scorer in the Currie Cup, or certainly one of them, when he was playing at 12 this year when they went on to win it.
Yeah, I'm very confident in his attack. I'm just a bit worried about the defence as a partnership with 12 and 13, because in quite a few matches, Hugh Jones has maybe been, and actually since we've been playing for Glasgow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That's good this season. His defense has been bad. Like, he misses a lot of tackles, actually.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so you're saying to him, you can maybe excuse him and say he's settling into a new system, but now you've moved him to 12. If I was Wales, you know, you've got Hadley Park, Scott Williams, Reece Patchell, I'd be attacking that.
No, I think that's fair. And especially with Scott Williams, obviously a really great sort of direct runner.
Yeah.
Probably we just aim for that outside shoulder. I think if you look at, if you have like a spectrum of like attacking being your strength and defence being your strength, there is not one Scotland back who would be closer to defence than attack. So, for example, if you have Dunbar on the team, you'd probably say he's got more defence
in defence than he does in attack. Yeah.
Even Maitland, I would say increasingly
he's,
now,
positionally, he's defensively, very good in defence.
And even to a point, Lee Jones probably leans more towards the defensive side. Out of all those backs, people like McGuigan coming in, Harris, and obviously Hugh Jones, they are all stronger in attack than they are in defence.
I mean, we touched on it. One, I don't disagree with any of that. I think that's a good point. I think one thing we did touch on with Sean there is just the sheer pace across this backline and the trouble that that could cause. It seems to me with the team that Wales have named as well, like mainly Scarlet's back division, who are playing this amazing brand of running rugby. And you've got, you know, Harris and Jones, both quick enough to play on the wings. The back three we know about. And Finn and Ali Price are both really, really quick as well. Like in an open contest, it could be a really potent threat.
Yeah, just hopefully it doesn't rain and screw it up for literally everybody, especially myself, because I'm going to the game.
There, yeah.
Just chuck that in there.
Yeah, that was nice. Throw it in.
That was quite good. Okay, well, let's have a look at this in another way. Who do you think is going to be the most important forward for that Scotland team? Matt, why don't you kick us off?
Looking at it now, it's hard to look past. I'm just going to say the front row as a whole, as a unit. Just if we can get at least parity in the scrum. And then beyond that, I look at Hamish Watson. I think that Hamish Watson played so well in the last Six Nations when we beat Wales, and that was from him just disrupting. You know, we know he's a very good carrier, but he didn't do so much of that, but he got so many turnovers. And I just remember the likes of Alan Wynne-Jones just sort of looking despairingly at the referee because they just couldn't deal with his ability at the breakdown. So if he can sort of stop the likes of Moriarty carrying and can just win us a bit of ball and slow down Wales' attack, then I think he's the key man.
Alan, what do you reckon?
I think Stuart McInally. I think we sort of look back to when we had this discussion probably 12, 18 months ago, sort of the idea that sort of McInally would be sort of the most important player for Scotland isn't probably something that sort of came to mind. But I think his performances in the autumn, where he sort of stood up as a bit of a leader and managed to nail down his line-out throwing, which is sort of a really big thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think set piece is just going to be sort of so big. And I think if we can nail that set piece...
And by nail, do you mean like just make sure we're not going backwards in the scrum?
Make sure we're not going backwards and make sure you just hit BBT front every
BBT
single time.
BBT jumping at two all day.
Yeah, BBT jumping at two. Gaudy Reid, John Welsh, boom, up. Wait for the next scrum. Don't move. Then I think we've got enough to win.
Yeah.
My concern is we start screwing up in the line-out, scrum starts going backwards, Lee Halfpenny starts just banging them over, and actually very quickly you end up being sort of 9, 12 points behind. Yeah.
I think if we lose, that's how we lose. I think we will just be ground into the ground. That's gone well.
Yeah.
And just kicking goals. It's the sort of formula we've seen Scotland lose to time and time again when they come up against, like, England and Wales, just really buried up front and just giving away penalties for fun. I think another really key person in that front, in the pack, sorry, is Cornel Dupria. And I think it's all about getting that go forward. Now, we've talked about, you know, the requirements at number eight and how Ryan Wilson possibly doesn't meet those levels that we want of somebody to get us over the gain line. Cornel Dupree has shown touches of it for Scotland, touches a bit for Edinburgh, and when he's at his top level, he's a really potent attacking threat. But can he reach those levels on Saturday? And if he's getting positive yards over the gain line, that's going to be really key.
So, you know, without Richie Gray and Fraser Brown, so
even Alex Dunbar, so you've not got the option of 10 or 9. You don't want to be putting Hugh Jones up.
Your carriers are... McAnally is going to have to do a hell of a lot of carrying.
Yeah.
Johnny Gray will do his Johnny Gray type carrying.
Yeah.
BBT...
Oh, you've got good enough carriers in the back five.
Yeah.
And McAnally.
Okay, so those are our most important forwards. What about back in the back line then? Hard to look past Stuart Hogg?
I was going to go Finn Russell, to be honest. I think that Stuart Hogg, you know, he is very likely to play well. Russell, you know, obviously can play well, but it's just, I think we need a bit of control in this game. And if he can take it by the scruff of the neck, and it'll be interesting to see him against Patchell, because, you know, where Bigger might have the edge over Russell is his control of the game.
And yeah.
He's a better kicker out of hand and probably has better game management skills. Whereas Patchell is a bit more of a sort of loose, open runner. So I think that Russell is a better player than him. And it'll just be a really good test to see if he can actually control things. And I think if he can get the forwards around the park, and then we know he can bring in the backs, then he'll be really crucial. Yeah.
That combination with Price obviously goes without saying is going to be really interesting.
There's,
but if
there's a small part of me that kind of wants Laidlaw in that back line.
Oui, Greg.
I know.
Le petit général.
With that back line, you almost feel like you just need one old head running the show. And while I think Ali Price deserves his place, and obviously him and Finn Russell got a really good sort of relationship. But there is something about if things aren't going to plan, and the fact that Hogg is way out of fullback. Is there someone in that sort of 9-13 who can sort of, right, this is happening, we're box kicking, we're slowing
Chris Harris.
Chris Harris.
Second cap.
It's definitely Chris Harris.
Especially with Cornell Dupree at 8, who again, whilst we do like him, is relatively inexperienced and kind have a mind fart.
But he this is can. Where Russell needs to, you know, he's not a newbie anymore. He's had experience, he's had caps, he's got to take control.
This is it. And you've got to hope that he's learned from, you know, the lessons from Twickenham last year when he lost his head and other games which have been sort of thrown away by not having that control. But I think Price will be massively key in that. Can he get the right mix of that super quick ball that Townsend wants and the quick taps, but also that sort of game planning that a nine needs to have of when you need to box kick, when you just need to clear your lines, and when you just need to probe into the corners.
Yeah. Did you see Finn Russell's interview at the weekend where he said that 9 out of 10 times he's in control of what's... I know. He knows what's going on. I think he's over-exaggerating a little bit. I think 7 or 8 times out of 10.
He knows exactly
what's going on. And the rest of the time he's just off the cuff. Let's see
chucking
what happens.
It around.
Which is good.
I
think it'd be good to see if Finn Russell can sort of really control this game. I think it's just a really great platform sort of going into sort of the rest of the Six Nations.
Yeah. Let's go back and have a look a little bit sort of side by side in the sort of key areas across the pitch on Saturday. We'll start with the front five. Am I being unfair to suggest that Scotland look a little bit lightweight up front?
No, I think that's fair. I think second rows are fine.
BBT and Johnny
Gray. We're going to have Gilchrist and
Gray. Two Lions? In Wales second row, what are you talking about?
Corey Hill.
Corey Hill is Lions
God,
legend.
He is so much better than Johnny Gray.
Johnny Gray and Tulis are just going to graft and graft and graft all day. I don't see either of them like making huge breaks or silly offloads, but they will tackle and carry until the cows come home.
Yeah. I mean, it's no surprise that our front row against Rob Evans, Ken Owens, Samson Lee, with Thomas Francis on the bench as well, like... We'd even probably be quite keen to have Thomas Francis, and he's not that good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Rob Evans and Ken Owens, I think they're all very good players, actually, particularly Ken Owens. But I don't feel bad about Stuart McAnally going up against Owens. It's a bit of an unknown quantity in the scrum. What's going to happen?
It is going to be that first. Well, I remember being at Murrayfield for the first game last year against Ireland, and that first scrum... We were in absolute reverse. All over the place. And that was Ferguson and Dow. But we still went on and found a way to win that game. Sort of managed to shore it up.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can find what I'm trying to say is hopefully we can find a way to win on Saturday as well.
And I think the thing as well is, look, Ken Owens, Samson Lee, etc., Rob Evans, they're good players, but they're not Ireland good.
No. Yes. And we can come back to that when we're playing against Ireland.
Yes.
But you're quite right. So I think, do you think Wales sort of edge us in that sort of front five battle?
Yes.
But that's not the biggest pack. If we include the back row, that's not the biggest pack that Wales could have picked. It's not the pack that they would pick if they were just going to try and grind Scotland down.
Yeah, and I think that's actually what's a little bit surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a bit surprising across the backs as well. Is it's not a Wales team set up to
play Gatland ball.
Play Gatland ball.
Absolutely.
Which hopefully means it's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. I think I was expecting it to be a little bit more conservative. And maybe he was sort of forced into doing this a little bit with just how many injuries they had.
Yeah, definitely.
But I thought at Millennium Stadium, first game up, slightly young Scotland team, just Gatland ball, let's bully them and let's try and eke out a win. But no.
What do you make of the matchups in the back row, Matt?
I think we win 2 out of 3.
Where are we losing?
I think Moriarty is just better. Well, Moriarty's probably more of a 6 than an 8, to be fair, but I think he's better than Cornel Dupria. But I think that
I
Barkley and Watson are better than Navidi and Shingler, who, to be fair, are both two very good players.
But I mean, Barkley and Watson made an absolute mockery of the Wales back row last year at Murrayfield. It was
Which was Faletau and Warburton.
Faletau and Warbs.
And Moriarty.
It's because Warbs doesn't actually go into rucks, but that's a completely separate argument. But I think I agree with you. I think we've probably got it. I would, if someone offered me Moriarty in a Scotland 8 jersey tomorrow, I would probably take it.
I mean, absolutely.
Sorry, I was trying to be cool. Yeah, I mean, I would obviously take that. Okay, so into the back line, halfbacks, some really interesting matchups. We've touched on it, sort of Finn versus Patchell. What about Gareth Davis and Ali Price?
Well, I mean, Gareth Davis is still probably a little better than Ali Price in terms of, especially that big game.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Level. I mean, I was just trying to remember actually. Last year, Ali Price was behind Laidlaw in the Six Nations.
Yep.
Until
Laidlaw got injured against France.
And this is sort of the first kind of tournament where Ali Price has, on merit, been starting ahead of Laidlaw.
Yep.
So again, I think that's just an interesting dynamic for him. You know, he's probably been, he's now the sort of numero uno scrum half, and let's just see what he can do. Because I think even last Six Nations, you can see he's got moments where he can make the wrong decisions.
Yeah. But it'd be quite interesting, though, because him and Gareth Davies are pretty similar players, and their strengths are their running game.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that Price's box kick is actually pretty good, but it's not what he's known for, and it's probably the same with Davies. So, yeah, it'd be just interesting to see the kind of the tactical battle there.
And I don't think we should underestimate Patchell.
No, I think Patchell's a very good player.
Yeah, and I think
he has been playing an awful lot of his rugby at fullback, though.
Yeah.
So to come in from a lot of your rugby at fullback to starting Six Nations at 10, that is a huge ask, no matter how talented the lad is. That's we've already covered off the centres in quite a lot of detail. Nothing more to really add there. How do you think it will match up against the Welsh lads there?
You know, again, if you look at Scott Williams versus Chris Harris, you're going to say you pick Scott Williams.
Yeah.
Straight up.
You would.
Yeah.
And whilst sort of 12 and 12, Hayden Parks, a good player.
Hadley Parks.
Hadley Parks.
I like you made up Hayden, though. It's a weird name.
Hayden Parks.
calling him Hayden now. Hadley Parks is a 12 and has played all his rugby at 12.
Yes.
So, yeah. That's quite two big lads as well. You wouldn't say Jones or Harris are sort of
big, are they?
Big physical specimens.
Do you think they're going to try and use McGuigan and Seymour off the wings to hit it up if needed? In terms of, they probably give you, obviously Glasgow use Seymour for that. McGuigan is a pretty big
McGuigan
guy.
McGuigan is a big bloke. And if you remember,
I wouldn't use them as like Bosch up merchants, though. I'd rather be putting them in space.
Yeah.
But particularly Seymour.
At some point, have to hit up.
Yeah, McGuigan can handle himself. And if you remember some of the carries he made against Australia,
he made
some really big physical contributions. So I think that's definitely an option. And a lovely segue into our final discussion point, the back three. Obviously, Hogg, Seymour, and McGuigan up against the new Adams from Worcester, Steph Evans, and Lee Halfpenny. Who do you think's got the edge there? Us, surely.
Yes, it's got to be us. Hogg is so much better than Lee Halfpenny.
It is a joke.
Blair Kinghorn's better than Lee Halfpenny.
Yeah, he is.
He genuinely is.
Is Rue Jackson better than Halfpenny?
Rue Jackson is multiple times better than Lee Halfpenny.
Greg
Tonks is slightly worse than Lee Halfpenny.
But not miles away.
By not miles,
but not
away.
Miles away. This is it.
Yeah.
Like, he is rapidly declining. However, I think the one thing that he does offer is just that laser anywhere within the Scotland 10-metre line is 3 points to Wales.
Mm. Yeah. But I think Finn Russell is getting close to that.
Yeah, no, he is.
Yeah, his stats have been pretty sick.
His stats have been unbelievable this year in terms of, and a lot in sort of at the side in quite high pressure environments. But yeah, I think Hogg, Seymour, and McGuigan all possibly can take on their man sort of one-on-one.
I think so. I think you maybe a case of putting Steph Evans in ahead of McGuigan, but it's pretty marginal.
That's pretty marginal.
Yeah.
I think if you look at McGuigan's performance, man of the match against Australia, he's absolutely earned his place in that Scotland team. I don't know about you lads. I'm super excited. Alan, you're going?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Making the trip down?
I am making the trip down.
How many cans? How many cans?
4 pints a half?
4 pints a half. Depends on how well Scotland are doing.
The last time I went to the Millennium Stadium was when Stuart Hogg went off, got red carded after.
I was sat next to you.
Oh, yeah.
Really, so you were. Well, it was a good weekend.
It was a really
bad
good weekend.
Sort of like hour and a half in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Annoying 2:15 kickoff, just for me, in terms of planning my day. In terms of
turns it into a hell of a long day.
Yeah, it's a long old day. Like,
So you might lose
I'm 100% passing out after my.
So if you're following us on Twitter on Saturday and there's anything past sort of 3 o'clock that looks a bit suspect, that
Vodka revs by the castle. Oh my lord.
It's going to be
something else.
It's going to be another fire alarm and they're going to see the pattern.
So that will be on. Quickly, should we do. We've got the Sean Lamont quiz, haven't we?
It's not a Sean Lamont quiz.
It's not a Sean Lamont quiz.
Are we going to do predictions?
Yes.
At the end, or?
Let's close with our predictions. Okay. Let's do a little, very quick quiz, and then we'll have a predictions, and then we'll let everyone
get
off.
Let's rattle through the quiz.
Let's go for it, Alan.
Okay, cool. Right. In 2010, when Scotland played Wales, two Scotland players were sin-binned. Who were they?
Touched on by Sean in his
one was touched on by Sean annoyingly
in his
I think I knew it.
I'm not sure that I do, but move on. I'll think about it.
Five players in this 23s were playing in that 2010 game. So five players from Scotland and Wales.
Ooh, five players
from the 2010 squads will be playing, playing in the 2018 game.
That is quite mad, isn't it?
And that excludes Richie Gray and Sam Warburton, who both came off the bench in 2010.
Did they?
For that game, randomly.
That is mad, isn't it?
Stop looking at the team, mate.
I'm looking at the team. I'm just reminding myself of who's old.
That's hard.
Okay.
Right.
I've got three at least.
Without looking at the teams, fine. No one look at the teams. How many Glasgow players will be starting? Will be starting.
Okay.
And then on the same thing, how many Scarlets players will be starting?
Okay.
And then
how many Scarlets will be starting?
Yeah.
That's quite tough.
And then I want you to name me what five Scotland players
have
had the most 6/5 nations caps of all time.
Five players.
There's five, the top five Scotland players with 5 and 6 nations caps. I'll tell you, the top one is 55 caps, 53 caps from someone that we spoke to today.
I thought that might be the case.
And then three other players, 45, 43, 43.
Wow. Who's had that sort of longevity? That is quite interesting.
I think I've definitely got three.
Yeah, me too. Okay, should we start back at the top?
Back at the top. Who were the two players that got sin-binned in that 2010 game?
Scott Lawson.
Yeah, 74th minute, Scott Lawson.
Phil Godman.
Phil Godman in the
friend of the pod.
In the
Phil
80th
Godman.
Minute, Phil Godman got sin-binned.
Oh my god. I only got Scott Lawson, so.
That's fair. What five players in the squads in 2018 were in the squads in 2010?
I can give you my three that I've actually written down. Barkley, Lawson, Alan Wynne-Jones.
Yes. All there.
All there. Those are the three that I've got written down. So, Matt.
I had forgot about Lawson.
Wynne-Jones, Barkley, Welsh, Laidlaw. No, so Laidlaw.
Hanny's got two, and you've got three.
Oh, very happy with that. I'm not sure I know any more than that. Gordy Reid?
The two missing, Halfpenny.
Of course.
And Bradley Davis.
He's on the bench.
Both playing. Bradley Davis on the bench. So
fair play.
Four all.
3-0.
I got three and one in the first round, so I'm on four.
And you got two.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
4-0.
Right. Five players have had the most Six Nations / Five Nations caps.
Wait, you missed out.
You've missed a question.
Oh.
Glasgow and
Scarlett.
How many
Glasgow players are playing?
Seven.
Five.
It is six.
Who have I counted then?
Johnny Gray.
I missed out Hugh Jones, you bastard.
One forward, five backs.
Yep.
Fair enough.
I think I've got the Scarlets one.
Dave, how many Scarlets players you got?
Nine.
Ten.
It is 11.
Oh, what? I'm closest.
10 Welsh players and John Barkley.
We don't get a point.
Oh, you bastard.
He's absolutely done you with that. And me, obviously.
Well, I was closest, so I get
no,
a point.
No, it's 4-0.
You get a point.
4-0. Got to keep it accurate here. Right. Five players, top appearances in the 5/6 Nations. Let's go alternate. Davos, who have you got?
Chris Patterson,
53 caps.
I also have that.
In the Six Nations, fine. Hanny?
Ross Ford,
55 caps.
Ooh, that is good. I didn't have that.
You didn't have Ross Ford.
I've the
record cap holder for Scotland.
Fine. All right. I'm not proud of it, but I don't have it.
6-5 to Hanny. What have you got?
Sean Lamont
is there. It's actually 45.
I also have Sean Lamont.
7-6.
Mike Blair
was sixth.
Oh, what?
Oh,
with
no
39
way.
Caps.
Bastard.
Who was around? I'm now off.
It's 7-6.
I haven't got anything written down, so I'm now just going off the top of my head. So, how about someone like Chris Custer?
No.
So low.
Alan Jacobson?
No.
Ah.
You got 5 seconds for a guess.
Give us a clue.
Yeah, give us a
clue. He likes to coach.
Gregor Townsend?
Oh! Yeah, 43. And then the final one, I've got a bonus round quiz, which is quite exciting.
Okay.
Is Scott Murray.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with 43 caps.
Interesting.
Well, we're on 7-all, so...
7-all.
The decider.
So I had a look at quite a lot of these players, and I could get their 5/6 Nations winning percentage.
Okay.
And out of those players, interestingly, the player with the worst winning percentage was Mike Blair.
Mm.
Okay.
What do you think Mike Blair's
Scotland's
Six Nations winning percentage?
Right, you write down your number.
You can write.
I'm just going to guess it, so yeah, I don't need to write it down.
Okay,
I'll say it out loud.
When you go,
I think it is 29%.
I got 27.
It's 23%.
Oh, closest.
Oh, how bad word. Is that?
23%.
Nearly 1 in 5.
I did feel bad when we were talking to Sean Lamont earlier, and he was just like, you know, it's really bad when you lose for your country. And I was like, what is your win percentage?
His win percentage was 25.6.
So 75% of the time he played for Scotland, he was going to depression. Well, thanks a lot, Alan, for that. Is that a draw or did you win that, man?
I won that.
Okay.
just technicalities, yeah. I suppose. Right, let's wrap this up. Alan, I'm coming to you. Prediction for Saturday.
Scotland to win by 8. Chris Harris to score a try.
Very good prediction. And how many pints?
How many pints in the Millennium Stadium?
I'm going to have 12. I'm going to tell my girlfriend 8.
You know, 12 in the Millennium Stadium.
Oh, not in the Millennium Stadium. Over the whole day.
Over the whole day.
It's a long day.
I think Wales will win by 9.
Ooh, Wales by 9.
Yeah, I'm worried. And I'm trying to go into it with low expectations so I can enjoy it more.
Fair enough. I think Scotland are going to win it very high scoring, but very tight. They're going to win by 3. And Gordon Reid's going to score a try. If you'll believe it, Gordy.
I believe it.
Did score a try on his last day against England. Against England.
That's true.
So he's on form for that. Righto, well, that is it. That is our Scotland versus Wales preview episode. Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. If you're listening on iTunes, please get on there. Give us a review, 5 stars, of course, and we'll read it out on the pod next week. Following us on Twitter, at Thistle Rugby Pod, we will be live tweeting the game, so get on there. On Instagram, at Thistle_Rugby_Pod. We will speak to you soon. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Come on, Scotland.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.